You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
If you would, please open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke and chapter 2. A very familiar passage, perhaps the most familiar passage at Christmas time. It's the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And if you would allow me to this morning, I would like to read the Christmas story. I can remember as a child on Christmas morning, the excitement of coming out and seeing all the gifts underneath the tree. And before we were allowed to open, my parents would say, well, once we're all awake, and of course, once my parents had that cup of coffee in their hand, now let's read the Christmas story. And I remember sometimes as a child thinking, oh, this is the longest story in the world right now. And so hopefully you don't feel that way as I read, but it is so very important that we look at the Christmas story and what is the true meaning of Christmas. And I'm thankful every single song that we sang this morning, I believe by divine appointment, is 100% in line with the Word of God and the message that God has put on my heart to preach. And really, if we just sang all those songs one more time, we probably could just go home for the day and go get lunch. But I can tell that you all want to be here for the preaching, and I appreciate that. Luke chapter 2, if you would, follow along with me. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And let's pray together this morning. Lord, what a blessing it is to come to your house this Christmas season, to consider the Christmas story and the meaning and the message of it. God, I pray now that you would please empower me, that you would use me as I try my very best to proclaim your message, the good news of the Christmas story. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts to listen and allow you to work in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In just 3 days, not just our church, not just our nation, but the entire world will celebrate the Christmas holiday. It is the second most celebrated holiday in the entire world, second only to New Year's Day. It's celebrated by over 2 billion people in over 60 countries. Think about that. 2 billion people will participate in some sort of ceremony, festivities, traditions, customs to commemorate the Christmas holiday. You know, every culture group has different traditions that maybe they do. In America, we can, of course, think of some that we do, whether it's bringing a Christmas tree into our house, a real one or a fake one, and putting lights on it, maybe putting a star on the top of it, putting lights up around and holly and garland and the playing of Christmas music. Sometimes before Thanksgiving, Brother Flood, it might happen that way in some homes. You know, opening up Christmas gifts on Christmas morning. You notice Pastor is not here, so I can go ahead and say that today. But opening up Christmas gifts, the exchanging of gifts, perhaps it's that festive, ugly Christmas sweater that you like to wear around this time of the year. Whatever the traditions may be, we enjoy them. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them. They're American traditions, but all around the world they have other customs and traditions. I was researching it a little bit. In the country of Austria, there is a holiday called Krampus Night. Krampus, as some of you may know, is the evil twin of Saint Nick. He is a ghostly, goat-like creature with long fangs and claws, and people wear almost like a Halloween mask around Christmas time, and they'll go running through the streets, and basically, Saint Nick is there to reward the good children. Krampus is there to punish the bad children. I'll tell you what, if that isn't motivation to do right, you know that song of Santa Claus is coming to town, he sees you when you're sleeping, that takes that to whole new levels of nightmares. I mean, completely new levels. But that's one tradition. In Germany and other countries, they take a pickle and they will hide that pickle in a Christmas tree. I don't know why, but they do. And children then will have to try to search through the tree to locate that pickle. And if they do, they get a gift. In Norway, they will hide their broomsticks on Christmas Eve, believing that spirits and witches will come looking for those broomsticks to ride around on Christmas Eve. My opinion is that had to have been a man's idea. You know, let's forgo cleaning for a day or two and hide all the cleaning supplies in the closet, can't take them out. I think one of my favorite traditions I read about, one that I'm actually thinking about adopting in my life, is called Kurisumasu Niwa Kintaki. And this is a Japanese tradition in which is known as Kintaki for Christmas. Brother Wolf, you may appreciate this, Kintaki for Christmas. And on this day in Japan, 3.6 million families will go to their local KFC and buy a seasonal chicken bucket for their feast. I'll tell you what, that is a finger-looking good tradition. I am thinking about it, I like it. But the truth is this, and that in the midst of all these traditions, in the midst of all these customs, in the midst of all these activities, all the festivities, all the enjoyable things we do, celebrated by over 2 billion people, most unfortunately would not know the meaning of Christmas. They would not understand the true message of what Christmas is and why we celebrate it and why it is so important. I was at a recent Christmas event in the area, and it was a live manger scene, and it was a beautiful thing. Tremendous job. All of the animals, the shepherds, the wise men, the baby, and at the very end of it, a man came up and he began to talk about it. I thought, okay, here it comes. He's going to present the gospel. He's going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And basically his words, forgive me for saying it, were so shallow. He said, oh, the awe and the wonder. And I hope that you can enjoy the awe and the wonder of it all. And it smote my heart. It convicted me that we as Christians, we have the absolute greatest message in the history of mankind, the Christmas story, and yet we allow it to be silenced. We allow it for Christmas to come and go, and we participate in all the fun activities and all of the wonderful things, and that's the extent of Christmas. This morning, really just for a few brief moments, I like to preach on this thought. The Christmas message. The Christmas message. What is it all about? Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem because of a census. The shepherds, the angels, the birth of the baby. What is the message of Christmas? What is it all about? I'd like to say, first of all, if you would, look with me in Luke chapter 2. In verse number 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here it is. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It's what we just sang about. It's the reason why he came. He came to save his people from their sin. Amen. The Christmas message is a message of salvation. Say, well, what do you mean? What did we have to be saved from? What is the meaning? That word Savior literally means a deliverer, one who saves from. Well, what was needed to be saved, and what was it needed to be saved from? See, here's the truth this morning, that every single human being ever born and that ever will be born was born with a condition. That condition is called sin. It's something that exists in your life. It exists in my life. It's not something that I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. That is, I was born with a sin nature. No one had to teach me how to sin. My wife and I have 4 children. Each one of them unique, special, different. Each one of them a gift. As they were born and as they were little children, I never had to teach my children how to do wrong. I never brought them over and said, "Riley, Hudson, Reagan, Addison, I'm going to teach you how to do wrong." No, I didn't have to teach them. I can remember, as many of you as parents, we would tell our children, "Don't touch that. Don't put that in that light socket. Don't touch that." And you could see the wheels start to spin. You could see they look at you, they look at that light socket, take a step closer, and you're like, "I told you. Don't touch that. Don't do it." And they go closer and closer, and they get ready to touch it, and you're like, "Don't you dare touch that." The tone changes, and they look at you, touch it real quick, and maybe go running off. You say, how do they know how to do that? Well, it's simple. They got it. They inherited it from my wife's side of the family. No, I take it back. They inherit it because every single one of us was born with a sin nature. That sin nature puts us in separation from God, not just earthly speaking, but for all eternity. So when we see that a Savior was born, Jesus Christ came, it's a message of salvation. But let's think for a moment. Why would a God, the God who spoke everything into existence, the God who sustains the universe, the God that by his word declared it, and so it was, and it was good, why would that God ever come to save you and to save me? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 3 in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why did Jesus Christ come? What is this message of Christmas? Can I say first, it is a message of love. It is a message of love. It is a message that God loved you and that God loved me so much that he was willing to send himself to come to earth to be born in a manger. It is the Christmas story, and it is a message of love. As we think about love, it's not a human love. It's not a love based on emotions or feelings. I feel warm and fuzzy. I love that. It's not a human love that says, you know what, I love trucks or I love barbecue steak. It's not I kind of like it or I'm fond of it. It's a message of love that goes beyond human comprehension. See, it's not a love that we hear about on the radio perhaps at Christmas time where I'll have a blue Christmas without you. It's not that kind of love. It's not I have my love to keep me warm. No, that's not the love of God. It's not a Hollywood love.
Yep.
You know, where two eyes meet in a room and life happens to go in slow motion. And the lights dim and the soft music plays and the fireworks go off. It's not that kind of love. It's certainly not a Hallmark kind of love. You know about the Hallmark love, right? That's the love that starts out in the big city in a fancy restaurant. You know where the guy and the girl, they've been dating for some time, and in her mind, this is it. This is the proposal. This is the moment I've been waiting for. He's gonna pull out that ring, and he comes, and dinner's going on, and they're having a nice time, and he says, "I have something big to tell you." And she starts getting excited, and this is when he tells her, "I got a new job. I just bought a condo. I'm moving to another state for work." Whatever the reason may be, that beautiful evening turns into a breakup. And it would just so have it that she has to get out of the big city. And so she's destined for small town America. She's going back to the country. It could be because she has a writing assignment there. It could be, I don't know, maybe she inherited a farm or an inn. I don't know. She may be just be going back home for the holidays, but one way or the other, she ends up there. And upon getting there, she meets a guy.
Keep going.
But this isn't just any guy. This is the guy who wears boots and jeans and a flannel shirt. He drives an old truck and has a dog, you know? He's one of those down-to-earth guys that everybody likes, everyone's fond of. He does good things for everyone. And he's that guy, and she comes and they meet, and she hates him. She detests him. "I can't stand this guy." But over time, and by time I mean the next 20 minutes, they are going to fall in love. But it doesn't end there, because there's a plot twist. There's a surprise that no one saw coming. Remember that guy from the city? He's coming back. He's coming back to the country. And he is going to show up and say, "I just realized I cannot live without you." And she's stuck in a dilemma. Big city guy, country guy, flannel shirt, jeans, boots, dogs, and the old truck. What am I going to do? But go ahead and put your minds at ease, because guaranteed, every time, 100% of the time, the country guy is going to win. Guaranteed. Ladies, I'm sorry. I just ruined about 165 plus Christmas movies on Hallmark. Now, men, I just got you out of watching those movies, so you owe me big time. You owe me big time. But as we think about this idea, this subject of love, it's not a love that we can explain, humanly speaking. It's far beyond our comprehension. It's far beyond our understanding that an almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, that he would love someone like me, that he would love someone like you. I find that it's a holy love. Why? Because God is holy. God is pure. God is just. He's righteous. And his love is a holy kind of love. But it's not just a holy love. It is the highest kind of love. That Greek word is the word agape. It means sacrificial, selfless. It's a kind of love that puts others in front of self, regardless of their standing, regardless of their merit, regardless of what they've done. And that is the love of God for you and for me this morning. It's a holy love. It is a sacrificial love that God said, "I will give myself for you." Now, to try to understand this is difficult. I think the best way I can explain it is this. Humanly speaking, I love my family. I love my family. My wife and I were blessed this last week. We celebrated 20 years of marriage. It's hard to believe. Where did the time go? I have aged significantly, and my wife has gotten younger. You're supposed to, like, give me a nod or something. That was okay. It didn't go over as well as I thought. Anyways, you're just taken away that I have aged. Is that what it is? No, okay. But I love my wife and I love my family. If someone were to come and try to threaten my family or hurt my family, I would give my life for my family in a heartbeat. If there was something that I had that my family needed, I would give it. Without consideration, I would put them before me. Why? Because I love my family. I would sacrifice myself for my family. But if you ask me to give my life for a total stranger, if you were to ask me to give my life for someone else who is trying to work against me, who hates me, who despises me, who reject me, who if they could, they would kill me with their own hands, I'm sorry to say, but I wouldn't give my life for them. Humanly speaking, I wouldn't give my life for them. But think about God's love for us. He didn't just give his life for the lovely. His love doesn't just encompass a small group of people. His love is available for each and every single human being that has ever existed. Why? Because it's the love of God. What is the message of Christmas? It is a message of God's love for every single human being. Can I say, secondly, if you would look with me in verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Can I say, secondly, the message of Christmas is a message of joy. It is a message that fills the heart. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the angel comes to Joseph and he tells him about this child that's going to be born and tells him that his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That same name was used some 700 years before by the prophet Isaiah as he prophesied of the coming Messiah. And he said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. The Christmas season is a season of joy. At least in the way that most of us use the word joy, it is a happy time. It is a time where people feel good. It's a time where we would say people are generally more happy at Christmas. Why? Because the beautiful lights. Because the nice music. People who maybe would not normally say hi to each other are all of a sudden they're happy. But all of that happiness is circumstantial. All of that happiness it's temporal. It's situational. Why? Because what happens after Christmas? That happiness that was found at Christmas and the holiday, it goes away. As the lights come down and the Christmas tree gets thrown in the garbage. As we stand in a line of 200 people at Costco trying to return that gift, can I say the magic, the happiness is gone? Why? Because the situation has changed. But Jesus didn't come that we might just be happy. No. He came that we might have joy, and that joy might be experienced by all people. Say, what is the meaning of that word joy? Well, it signifies a deep inner gladness or delight. Not just a happiness based on the external, a joy that comes deep down from the inside out. That no matter what's happening on the outside, I can have joy in my life each and every day, not just during a season, not just during a holiday, but forever. Where does that joy come from? That joy comes from Jesus Christ. He is the only source of joy. Isn't it true that everyone today is searching for happiness? They're trying this, they're trying that. Maybe if I go to this program, or maybe if I go to that program. As they scan their phone on social media, what are they doing? They're looking for the next moment of happiness. What's the next post? What's the next video? What's the next thing that is going to give me just a brief moment of happiness? It's there, it's gone, and then I got to keep scrolling to find the next thing. Why? Because everyone in life is searching for happiness. But here's the truth of the matter, that there is nothing on the external that will ever bring you joy. It's a deep down inner peace, if you will. Joy doesn't come from outward, it comes from the inward. It comes from the realization that Emmanuel, that God came down and dwelt with mankind. If you think about that manger scene, what was happy about that? What were the happy circumstances? There were no lights. I mean, this is God Almighty come down. This is His entrance into the earth, His introduction to mankind. And who was there to meet Him and greet Him? Just some lowly shepherds. Really, the outcast of society. Those who were not ceremonially clean to go to the temple and worship. Those were them. A manger, if you will, a barn with animals and live animals and the stench and all that surrounds that kind of setting. That's how Jesus Christ was welcomed. Think about this. Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem for a census to register for taxes. When is the last time taxes brought anyone happiness? They don't. See, Mary and Joseph were not overwhelmed with happiness. They were overwhelmed with joy. Why? Because that joy does not come from the external. It comes from the realization that God Almighty came down into human form with mankind. The joy of Christmas is found in Jesus Christ. And the last point I'd like to give you is that the Christmas message is a message of peace. In verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace is such an elusive word, isn't it? It's one of these concepts that everyone embraces, everyone wishes for, but the reality is there is no earthly peace. We define peace as a time or a period without conflict. Look around the world today. There's conflict everywhere. There's heartache. There's disappointment. There's people who are doing all kinds of criminal activity towards other people. There's active shootings. There's Amber Alerts that are going off on a daily basis with child abductions. Can I say there is no earthly peace today? No matter what government powers may gather together and try to committee to figure out peace, no matter how the government may try to legislate peace, there is no peace. Right. At Christmas time, maybe we act a little bit better toward each other, but then right after we go back to ourselves. Why? There is no peace. But Christ came so that you and I might know peace. Amen. Well, what is that peace? It comes from the Greek word Irene. It means an inner rest, a well-being, a harmony. It's formed from the word Iro, which means to join or to bind together that which was separated. See, this morning, the problem with mankind, the reason why we can't have peace, not necessarily we as Christians, but the reason why the world cannot have peace with each other is because it's not a person-to-person issue. It's a man-to-God issue. That because of this sin in our life, that sin that came from Adam and Eve and that was passed down to every single generation, that sin puts us in direct conflict and separation from God. And there was nothing you could do, there was nothing I could do on our own to ever bring God back to us. But God in His mercy and God in His love, God sent down Himself, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to come so that He may take God and mankind and reconcile us, to bring us back together. That is the peace of the Christmas message. And it is only from that peace that when we have peace with God, can we have peace within and peace without? This world will never know peace until it knows the Prince of the Peace, which is Jesus Christ, the gift of Christmas. The peace, the love, the joy. It's what the world needs, isn't it? It's the message of Christmas. It's why we do what we do. It's why we celebrate what we celebrate. It's because God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come, to live a perfect life without sin, to be lied against, to be beat, to be spat upon, to be ridiculed and mocked, to be lied about, and to be nailed to a tree, to die to pay for your sins and mine. Why? So that through that payment is the gift of salvation, that by putting our faith through God's grace in Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Amen. This morning I ask you this question. Do you know the love of God in your life? Have you experienced His love? Can you say there is a joy in my life, not because of what's going on around me, not because of the weather or because of what I have? There is a joy that comes from deep within because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I am at peace with God. You might be here this morning and say, well, I know the Christmas story. I know the facts. I know about Mary and Joseph and the babe and the angels and the shepherds. I know it all. Can I say it's not enough to know? It's not enough to know. It's only by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ can we not only know, but can we experience the message of Christmas. But can I say this? It's not just a message of Christmas. It's not limited from the day after Thanksgiving to the day after Christmas. It's a message that for the believer exists in our lives each and every single day we live. The Bible tells us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Christ comes and indwells us in the form of the Holy Spirit, working in us, sanctifying us, changing us, making us more like Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, that's the working of Christ in our lives, is this: it's love, it's joy, it's peace. Meaning we can experience the message of Christmas, the gift of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ, not just for a day, not just for a season, but for the rest of our lives and for all eternity by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed this morning and our eyes closed, the most important message we will ever hear in our lives is the Christmas message, the message of God's love, the message of joy that we can have in our lives, and the message of peace with God. This morning, you may be here today visiting with us, and perhaps you were given an invitation. Perhaps you're just searching for something in your life. Whatever the reason, I don't believe that you're here today by accident. I believe that you're here because God has appointed you to be here to hear the message of Christmas. No greater gift can ever be given to mankind than the gift of salvation. This morning, I cannot let the service end without asking you the most important question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time where you put your faith and your trust in Him and Him only to save you? What a shame it would be to hear the truth of Christmas, to go through the Christmas season and not experience the love, the joy, and the peace of Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.